You're listening to Knowing Faith, a podcast of Training the Church.
This is Kyle Worley, and I'm joined by my co-hosts JT English and Jen Wilkin. What's up? Last recording of the day. Recording. Let's go.
This is where it gets all goofy and loose because we're a little scrambled.
Let's do this.
Yeah, 4 hours in, and we're going to be.
You know that you have a specific intro voice that you then transition out of for the podcast?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Everything I do on here is tactical, JT. Every micro movement. I'm a professional, JT. Everything I do on here is for the purpose of just moving us forward. You know, do you get that vibe?
Do you guys also have pastor voice?
Oh, definitely. You want to hear my pastor voice? Okay. I can do it right now.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. Now I want you to understand that when Jesus walks into the wilderness, did you hear what I did there?
There's a lot of pauses in pastor voice.
Yeah.
Was that like preaching pastor voice or like counseling?
Oh no, that was preaching pastor voice. Counseling pastor voice is a lot more like this. It's a lot more like, yeah, okay. You know what? Listen, I want to thank you. Thank you for sharing your story with me, okay? And I just want to let you know. Yeah, there we go. It's a little bit lighter, a little bit brighter. Yeah,
What about you, JT? Let's hear pastor voice.
I don't think I have one.
Yeah, I don't think you do either.
I don't think
Kyle does either.
Yeah,
maybe not. My wife will sometimes say, it sounds like you're speaking to me in pastor voice right now. And that's when I know I'm in real trouble. I have made a terrible judgment.
Well, of course, I don't have pastor voice because I'm a woman. But my kids will say, they'll be like, Mom, we don't like to listen to you teach because you sound angry. It sounds like we're in trouble. So I assume that is my version of it. They're like, we just feel like we did something wrong. And I'm like, well, that's what you want to hear is that when you teach, people feel judged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't feel that way when I listen to you teach.
Thanks, Kyle.
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say I feel uplifted. Like, I feel like like wind beneath my wings.
Okay.
Yeah. do you guys have a favorite preacher from, like, years gone by? My favorite preacher to listen over the decades has got to be, there's not even a close second, Tony Evans.
That's a good choice.
And JT, are you about to speak at a conference? Are you, by the time this comes out, you will have spoken at a conference where, who did you have to follow preaching wise?
Robert Smith and Tony Evans.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I cannot believe they did that to you. That's terrible.
I'm being trolled. I mean, everybody knows that the freshman team, the JV team, and the varsity team go in order, and they have like reversed the order where like the freshman team is playing at the end of the conference. It is not looking good for me, guys.
Maybe they put you at the time where they think everybody will go take a smoke break or something.
Yeah, like we're done. It's like 8 p.m., like 2 hours past dinner. They're all leaving. I would say Tony. Tony's one of my favorite preachers. The first church we visited when we were in Dallas was Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Macy and I went, and they had like this, like their services are long. They're like 2 hours long, and they make all the guests stand up. So we stood up, like brought us like bread and babies. I mean, it was just like they like gave us all
bread
these
and
gifts.
Babies.
I mean, it was a joke. What? I'm just saying, like everybody like came over and was like hugging us and saying hi and shaking hands.
That's where they come from.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was amazing. I mean, they just were like super generous. I have admired Tony Evans's ministry for, I mean, that would have been 2007. And, you know, 4 or 5 years before that was when I first started listening to him. So it's been, you know, close to 20 years that I've admired him. And now I get to look like an idiot right behind him. I'm going to make him look amazing. People are going to love his message.
I love it. Have you ever had to follow somebody that was just a real hard act to follow, Jen? You ever got up there and been like, golly.
Oh, yeah. A lot of times I had to follow John Piper at the last women's conference, TGC Women's Conference. But the one that was completely overwhelming to me was I had to follow Jerry Bridges one time at I came after Jerry Bridges and right before Ben Stewart. And I seriously think Ben Stewart is one of the best preachers alive on the planet today. And then Jerry Bridges was someone who I just I thought he was just deep wells of wisdom. And I thought, are you kidding me? I have to get up in between these two guys. And that was the one, actually, this is kind of a funny story. It was the Desiring God conference. And I was like, why am I even like being handed a microphone at this? And I was so nervous to get it right that the first words out of my mouth, you can still find this on the internet, was, "Hi, I'm Jen Wilkin and I teach men the Bible." Like, why did that come out of my mouth? And the whole room just like went totally quiet. And I felt all of the blood draining out of me. And then I was like, wrong conference. And they all just burst out laughing. But it was terrible.
That's amazing. Have you guys ever had to clean somebody else's stuff up on like a conference or like?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've been cleaned up. Have you ever had that happen?
No, never. Never
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
Why would they? What would they have to?
Oh, God. What would they say? They'd be like, wow, I just doubled down on what that guy said. I mean, couldn't say it better myself, you know?
Yeah. I remember I taught at a thing once where I was talking about sanctification and the law to a room full of, I mean, presumptively believers, right? And after I sat down, the next person up just like went crazy hammering on grace and how works don't save us and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, I did not say that, you know, but we do what we do.
We do.
Was it Martin Luther by chance?
What would it have been like? I wonder what it would have been like for the guy who came out that day when Luther had nailed up his 95 theses. And he was like, he looked at it, he was like, I got to clean this mess up. You think, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you think there was like some poor Catholic priest or monk who came out and was like, golly, I'm going to have to patch this door now. And like, he was like, convinced by the truth of the Reformation, but was so bitter against the fact that Luther had defaced this door that he was responsible for. I like to imagine how that would have gone, you know?
I think that's what they did.
Yeah.
What?
Like nailing stuff to doors.
Oh, you think that was like, hey, I got to tell y'all something.
It was socially acceptable?
Yeah, I think it was actually the social norm. Like, I think, I mean, because they didn't have the printing press yet in the same way.
Are you trolling me right now? Or is this something that like, I just didn't know and they actually nailed stuff to doors?
No, I think they really nailed stuff to like public places. Like if you wanted to go read what was written, you would go because the printing press hadn't come. I mean, it was on the verge of coming out in terms of making its way through Europe. I think this is something that was normal. I think what was not, I mean, like, because the 95 theses, if you read them, like a lot of them are very normal. Like they're kind of strange. Like there's just a few of them that are like, whoa. So I think he was just saying like, hey, let's talk about this publicly.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like between like 75 and 85, when he starts giving like personal hygiene tips, he's like, you should definitely floss. Make sure you wash underneath your armpits. You're like, wow, he kind of got off the beaten path there. Kind of lost the thread there for a second. Didn't
proud to be a Protestant.
Oh man. Well, we're actually waiting for some guests to show up today. Did you know that? Did you know that there are guests that are supposed to be coming in and out of this podcast?
Well, I believe I was warned, but I don't know if I feel safe about it or excited about it. What should I?
I don't know. Partly I'm a little uncertain about it now because I think we should have already had a knock on the door, but here we remain vamping for for guests that have all like a couple of these folks. They showed up an hour early, so we have been we've just been playing a little bit of. We've been flexible, you know, being flexible with this episode that is not going according to my plan, but you know, in a podcaster's heart, he plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. It looks like we do have one guest who's already jumped in, so I'm going to let them in right now. Let's see who it is. Behind door number one, we have... Oh, hello! Hi.
Jackie!
Hey, what's up, Jackie?
I'm late to the... Am I on time?
You're actually early, Jackie, which is fantastic.
Praise God.
Yeah, I mean, you're five minutes early. We're joined by Jackie Hill-Perry. She needs no introduction, but I'm going to give her one anyway. That's what we do here. She is an author, a poet, a Bible teacher, a hip-hop artist, podcast host herself. She is the author of books, studies. She's out there doing things. You've been on tour. You've been on a glory tour. Right?
Yeah, it sounds holy.
Am I nailing this bio right now?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
That sounds great. That sounds excellent.
Her most recent book is Holier Than Thou, How God's Holiness Helps Us Trust Him.
Do you want me to do this, Kyle? I can take this over if you want.
Yeah, why don't you welcome Jackie to the show real quick?
Kyle starts mispronouncing things.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jackie, welcome to the show. What's up?
Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're hanging.
I don't see any I don't see party hats and confetti.
No, we're kind of low key on the decor. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you have a very blue hat on though.
I do.
What's it say? I can't.
It says amen, 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 amen.
Okay.
So,
wow.
A lot of yeses.
Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. You've been traveling the country, far and wide, trying to direct people away from focusing on themselves and towards giving their attention to God. Why?
How's that going?
Yeah, how's that going?
Oh, man.
Did you fix it yet?
Yeah.
No, I don't know if that ever. We got to wait till Jesus comes back.
No, I mean, for real, though. Like, how is it actually going, trying to get people to go, yeah, my life isn't about me. It's about the glory of God.
Yeah. Well, one, I think God is faithful. Mm. I think the gospel does work. I think the Holy Spirit does illuminate minds and allow people to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so mm-hmm. I see him doing things. I see people changing, even in my own life. Like, I don't know how much, you know, preaching from a stage at a conference, I don't know the sustainability of that mm-hmm. in somebody else's life if I'm not with them, right? But I do see what is happening within me. I do see what is happening within the people that I serve and are in relationship with. And so we definitely have a glory problem, but grace is glorious too, and we're receiving it. So
yeah,
that's good news.
What is our glory problem though? Like, when you say that, what's Kyle Worley's glory problem?
I don't know what yours is, but in Romans 1, Paul.
Hang on. I'll take this one, Jackie. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
But Paul talks about how, you know, a function of idolatry is exchanging the glory of God for the glory of created things. And so I think that is our glory problem, is that we see beauty, we revere, we give our energy to, we create space for our money, our mind, our heart, our soul, for the things that God has made. And so I think what a proper response to the gospel is kind of what Paul says a lot in Ephesians, like, we've inherited and he's predestined us and all these things to the praise of his glory. And so I think God has to rework us and rewire us for us to see glory in his face and not in everything else. Mm. We can't do it. We're not good at that.
Mm. If you had to pick a Knowing Faith host to be a feature on your on a track from your next rap album, which one would you pick here? I mean, and you can be honest.
I would probably do an interlude between you and JT's banter on like Theophany and Christophany.
There we go.
Y'all seem to do that a lot.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I would just create, like some like gladiator music underneath that.
There we go.
That would be cool.
You'd have plenty of content to remix.
I think so.
Hours. Yeah.
No doubt. Well, this is our 10th season. What would you tell us to stop doing or start doing or keep doing? You got any advice for us? Because you are also a globally successful podcast host in your own right. So this is we're really talking to somebody who's like way ahead of us in the game.
Mm-hmm. That's not true.
So what would you tell us? Start doing, stop doing, keep doing here.
Start. I don't know. Start banter. I like the banter. Like
let's go, Jackie.
It warms you up, you know, because y'all start off talking about Jen started talking about puzzles on one episode, how she's like playing puzzles with her. Like that's real random, but cool, you know, before we start talking.
Yeah, it's so cool. Puzzling late at night is so cool.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, so do what y'all do. Like y'all know this. I enjoy your podcast. I the way I described it when I tell people about it, it's like listening to, I don't think this is a phrase, but listening to an exegetical conversation. Like it feels like people walking through the text, but in communication with one another. And I just enjoy that.
Hey, thank you for that. Hey, and thank you for coming on here for our 10th season. Yeah, we wanted to have some of our favorite guests on from the past, and we were like, we can't miss up an opportunity to invite you on. And if you have not checked out the Glory Tour and it's coming to a city near you, it's still going, right? There's like 10 more, 10 more cities, right?
Nine
more cities. If you haven't checked out the Glory Tour, go check it out. Yeah. Where can they find out more about the Glory Tour, Jackie?
My website, www.jackiehillperry.com.
There we go. So simple, so easy. Thank you for joining us, Jackie.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jackie.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
See you later. And I mean, isn't she the best?
Yes. Yep. Two things that are related to that conversation, but not about Jackie. Guys, I came up with a phrase last night that I didn't mean to come up with. But that feels like it could be either a rap, an album, a song. We need to trademark this thing. Somebody was talking about Chick-fil-A, and I said, "You mean Manna from Atlanta?"
Oh my God.
That's pretty good.
I'm so glad you didn't just tell her that. You saved yourself some real embarrassment.
That's why I waited. Hey, that could be good though. Second, has it been harder? Like, I think about traveling to nine cities and doing like post COVID, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay in my home. Yeah. And like, have you guys traveled a lot? Like, I feel like it is exhausting to travel now in a way that it didn't feel that way before.
Oh yeah, I've cut way back, and I have zero regrets. Other than that, I do enjoy. I shouldn't say that. I do enjoy, and it does energize me to a degree. Like when I'm there, but being home on a Saturday feels like just the gift
that
keeps on giving. And so, yeah, I do feel that, JT. I don't think I have the stamina that I had before COVID to travel. But you know what's interesting? I don't know if you guys have noticed this. I don't think people are as invested in going to things as they were before COVID.
Yep.
A lot of times. So I'd rather do fewer things with, you know, better attendance than a whole bunch of things with a few people who are like, I guess I'll go.
Right.
Well, you know, I recently was scheduled to make an appearance in Colorado, but my friend who had scheduled me to be out there, I get all the way to the airport. I'm sitting.
Brother,
waiting to
I'm
board the plane.
You.
And he calls me, and this is what he says. He says, "Listen, I am so sick of hearing your voice. Stay in Texas. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear
around.
From you." And I had to drive. I had to leave the airport and drive away. He canceled the whole thing. I mean, it was honestly, it kind of hurt my heart a little bit, really.
We have a, it's an unwritten pact among Coloradoans that whenever we have snow, we tell all of our Texas friends to stay in Texas so that you guys aren't on our roads driving. And so I was just maintaining integrity here. It snowed a ton when we didn't cancel, but we had to move the Institute onto Zoom, which you faithfully taught. It was great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, teaching on Union with Christ is a delight. Teaching on Union with Christ over Zoom is just a little, it's a diet delight. It's not
it
as
felt,
nearly
it
as enjoyable.
It felt like a little bit of PTSD from like those early, early, early COVID days.
Yes.
Remember when we did we did four or five Knowing Faith episodes on YouTube?
Yep.
Yeah. Ugh, it was really bad.
That was not fun.
I mean, I'm sure they were fine, but it was not fun to do them.
That's what I mean.
It was not.
Yeah.
It was not. And it was also in that moment where it felt like doing Knowing Faith episodes. It felt like doing anything, sending an email. You're like, there's a global pandemic going on and I'm recording an episode of a podcast. I mean, and you're like you kind of felt like.
Making jokes.
Yeah. You're like, ha, ha, ha. Who's watching Tiger Jamie's. King?
Anybody have a runny nose? No.
Lauren and I just watched a clip. It was like a highlight reel. I don't know if you. I'm not endorsing Tiger King and I'm not endorsing it in any way, shape or form. We did watch it. And whenever we watched it during COVID, we thought it was like the most insane, hilarious thing we had ever witnessed. And then when we were watching a highlight reel, like maybe a couple of weeks back, Lauren was like, "I don't think this was actually that funny. I just think that like it came out in such a weird time." And when we watched clips back, we were like, this is actually kind of icky and gross. Like, this is like not really that amazing at all. And it was just one of those things that COVID made it feel like, oh, it's kind of something to take our mind off this global pandemic.
But we would never otherwise have watched it. That's what I think too.
Not.
It's like, it was like, oh, this will be a fun guilty pleasure to keep me busy for the 2 weeks that I'm staying home. And then you're like, what is happening? And I just gave some of my life to that. Yeah.
How can Christians wholeheartedly pursue God without an undercurrent of guilt, fear, or anxiety? How can imperfect people experience God's peace while seeking to obey His perfect standards? Faith Chang writes to fellow Christian perfectionists in her new book, Peace Over Perfection. Discover the depths of God's patience, mercy, and righteousness, and find freedom to pursue Him with peace. Listeners get 25% off at thegoodbook.com with code KNOWING. That's Peace Over Perfection by Faith Chang. You can find it at thegoodbook.com and get 25% off with the code KNOWING. Meet your new favorite study companion. Immerse yourself in both the Old and New Testaments with the Holman Handbooks, brought to you by the Christian Standard Bible. I gotta tell you, I love these handbooks. They contain charts, maps, word studies, and more for each book of the Bible. They are some of my most used resources whenever I'm studying a passage. They intersect beauty, goodness, and truth, and they're designed to last a lifetime as a valuable resource for Bible study, teaching, and ongoing discipleship. They're available in two different cover options for each. Buy one, get one free at lifeway.com with the promo code HandbookBogo. Again, that is HandbookBogo on lifeway.com in order to get some of these Holman handbooks, HANDBOOKBOGO, HandbookBogo on lifeway.com for these Holman handbooks. They are fantastic resources. And look who we have now. We have joining this episode, Dr. Greg Allison. Let me give you the rundown. Dr. Allison is professor of Christian theology at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, the author of many books, Historical Theology, Introduction to Christian Doctrine, Sojourners and Strangers, Roman Catholic Theology and Practice, and Evangelical Assessment, The Holy Spirit, Embodied, Living as Whole People in a Fractured World, 50 Core Truths of the Christian Faith, and other books. And he is now officially, with his appearance on this episode, the most recurring guest we have ever had in Knowing Faith.
Fantastic.
Dr. Allison, you have, we do not have a Hall of Fame, but if we did, you would be the first entrant
without
into
a doubt
the Knowing Faith Hall of Fame.
I do want a trophy of some kind.
Okay, we'll make sure
What would we caption it? Biggest sucker?
Oh, no.
Person with the most free time. Oh, no. Take a risk.
Hangs out with bad company.
Yeah. Associates with people of loose morals. I mean, all sorts of stuff.
Whoa. Hey, just hanging out with friends. So all it needs to say. So
absolutely. Well, Dr. Allison, this is our 10th season for Knowing Faith. Is that crazy?
It's fantastic. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. We are so excited, and we're so excited to have you appear on this episode. We wanted to bring on our very favorite guest from past seasons of Knowing Faith, and it just was fitting. I should have mailed you a plastic crown. You could have worn it in celebration of your real victory of being, I know this, and all the accolades that you've accrued in your life, these wonderful books you've published, a faithful ministry over decades, all the things you've written, that this is really now going to be at the top of your CV. Most appeared on Knowing
Faith.
This
is my favorite marathon race.
Oh,
this one. I'm hoping for a PR.
Yeah. Well, nice. Dr. Allison, we're asking every guest that's showing up on this special episode just one question. And here's the question I got for you. If we have the Bible, and we do, why do we need creeds, confessions, the writings of leaders, pastors, and theologians from church history? Like, if I've got the Bible, I don't need any of that other nonsense, do I?
Yes, and I sense three categories in your question, so I'm going to break down my answer into three categories. The first,
all right,
the Bible, which is God's written word to us, his people, is his revelation of himself and his ways so that we might be rescued from sin and we may worship God in ways that please him, that we might know and embrace our responsibilities of faith and obedience, that we might be prepared to and empowered for every good work and much, much more. So that's the first category.
Mm-hmm.
The second category, creeds and confessions, which are statements of faith that express what the church believes and is to believe based on the entirety of Scripture. So matters like the Trinity,
the deity and humanity of Christ, the authority and truthfulness of the Word of God, salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the church, and many other topics. And then the third category, the writings of leaders, pastors, and theologians from church history, which are treasures of wisdom from the past. Hmm. And they help us to know what we're to do in terms of rightly interpreting the Bible, how to put the Bible together in terms of affirming and defending sound doctrine, and then how to correctly live out biblical instruction so as to fully please God in life and ministry. So we got those three categories.
Okay.
And if I can expand on each one a bit, Ken, is that okay?
Of course it is. The road is yours.
So only the first category, which is the Bible, is divine revelation. So it alone has and enjoys and exerts ultimate authority over us and our churches. Mm. The second category, creeds and confessions, because it consists of biblically proven wisdom, mm-hmm. enjoys what I like to call presumptive authority over us and our churches. Now, these statements of faith are not infallible, but it's always dangerous to move away from the biblical and theological consensus that the church has developed under the guidance of the Holy Spirit over the course of many centuries. And then the third category, the writings of Christian leaders, represents the church's historical attempts at providing contextualized biblical and theological instructions for churches and Christians in different times and cultures. And so these teachings can be ministerial to help us in our churches today. So three categories that you've asked in the question and my responses.
I love it. Dr. Allison, if you had to get one of the creeds tattooed on your back, which one would you pick?
The Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed.
Okay, now, true or false, and you can leave us guessing. You don't have to answer this. We can just live with the mystery. Do you have the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed on your back right now tattooed?
I do not. I
okay.
do not.
All right.
But now that you mention it, I wish I did.
You heard it here first, guys, on the 10th season of Knowing Faith. Dr. Greg Allison wants to go out and get the Nicene Creed tattooed on his back. There we go. That's your breaking news. Breaking news.
Fantastic.
Dr. Allison, thank you for jumping on here. Is there anything that you can do? What would be your word of challenge to us for the next 10 seasons of Knowing Faith? What would you tell us either to stop doing or keep on doing?
What I like particularly is the dynamic between you guys. I mean, I still fondly recall the episode we did on the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. yeah. literally a day or two before the whole uh-huh. world closed down because of COVID-19,
that's right?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was give and take. There was movement. There was dynamics. We covered everything. I think yeah. we even high-fived one another at a certain point.
We can do that again we won.
Yeah. Because we won, right? And I mean, that episode, like all the other episodes that I've done, represents for me what's a key contribution of Knowing Faith. So you help Christians, you help churches know the faith, and grow in a faith that knows God and that wants to more deeply and accurately obey him and trust him in all things. So I'm honored to have been a small part of your 10 years. So congratulations on the 10th anniversary. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, you, Dr. Allison.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Sweet. Allison.
You're the best,
keep
Dr.
coming
Allison.
Back.
Yeah, keep coming
I will.
Back.
Anytime.
All right. We'll see you later, Dr.
Thank
Allison.
Thank you much. Love you
all
three.
Right, bye. Love you
bye,
too,
bye.
Brother.
Bye.
Have you guys seen the new show? I think it's called All Creatures Great and Small.
No.
Oh, I love it, but I haven't seen the newest season, so don't tell me about it.
I've not seen any of it. I've just had, in the last week, like 7 people recommend it to me, so I should watch it.
It is delightful.
Hey, I'm gonna let a guest in. We have a guest knocking on the little podcast door that we have here. Let's see who it is. Who could it possibly be? It's Dr. Mike Krueger. How are you, Dr. Krueger?
Hey,
Dr.
Krueger. How's everybody doing?
We're hanging in there.
Good. What are you guys like on the marathon here? Like 20 people in a row or something?
Yeah, just it's like an episode of Cheers. You don't know who's coming in next, but you're going to be glad to see them.
That's
you know?
Good. I like that.
Oh, Kyle.
There we go. I'm doing my best, Dr. Oh, Krueger. Kyle. I'm doing my best. We were talking about one of our favorite guests from the past who is also an RTS bro. You guys call yourself the RTS bros, right?
I don't know. That word has some connotations now.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you read Dr. Krueger's latest book, Kyle?
I have it.
Got some challenges. So.
You don't want any part
great.
Of that.
Okay, great. Yeah. Let me rephrase. We were recently discussing another RTS brother in Christ, we're talking about Dr. Ligon Duncan when we had him on, and what a ball that was to have him on the show, and how he blew my Baptist brains with some of his arguments for paedobaptism.
And
it was just so much fun. Oh, well, he didn't convince me. I'm just so
checking.
Stubborn.
Okay.
But it wasn't because his arguments were weak. It's just because my heart is calloused.
Oh, well,
you know?
That's also part of the Presbyterian system, too, so don't worry.
Okay. So.
We got an answer for that as well. So
there we go. Fantastic.
Well, we got an answer for everything. You don't know who we figured that out yet?
Exactly. No, we have it. We have it. But if the listener's like, who is this person? It is Dr. Michael Krueger. We have had him on the show multiple times. He serves as the president and the Samuel C. Patterson Professor of New Testament and Early Christianity at the Charlotte campus of Reformed Theological Seminary. He's the author of many books. Just go check them out. You should check it out. They're fantastic. Canon Revisited is a book that it's one of my most given away books. If you've got questions about the canon, it's a fantastic book. Mm-hmm. I recommend it every time we have it on because it's aces. So Dr. Krueger, thanks for jumping on. This is our 10th season of Knowing Faith. We're 10 seasons
in. Congratulations, guys. 10 seasons. That's a lot. Is that 10 years or just 10 seasons? So how's that work out in terms of years?
It just feels like 10 years, but it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like dog years, blogging and podcasting.
That's right. No, I mean, I don't
know.
We
just listened to a bunch of clips from earlier in the from 5 years ago. I'm like, I don't even remember saying that. I don't remember thinking that. And you're like,
you don't ever want to do that exercise. It's like looking at the way you dressed at your high school prom and you're like, what was I thinking, man? Like,
certainly that's not me. That can't be me.
I'm also wondering what other goofy things I said that have passed out of my recollection, but that can be found and clipped at will on the internet.
You should go back and edit all your prior episodes. Just take out all the stuff you now realize isn't true. So
might not be much left. So we're not going to do that.
Yeah, actually, Engineer Brad, if you could go back and edit out the thing that I said about RTS bros right at the top of this one, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Were we recording? I don't even know what was. You better go back and look at that one.
Yeah, we might need to. We might need to. Well, okay, Dr. Krueger, we're asking every one of our guests that comes on today just one question. Here's your question. In your opinion, what is the most overlooked book in the New Testament, and why would you encourage Christians to spend a little bit more time with it?
Yeah, there's lots of good answers to that question. I mean, depends on what you mean by overlooked. If you mean least read, I have some answers to that. But I think the book that stands out in my mind is one that I want to encourage people to read that I don't think they're reading, at least in the right way, is the book of Revelation. Apparently, Jen is on my team here.
Writing a study on it right now. Mm-hmm.
So now some will object that it's not the most overlooked book. But actually, I kind of think it is in a couple ways. First of all, in Reform spaces, it is pretty overlooked, although that's starting to change. Mm. And you see new commentaries out that are from Reform folks. That didn't used to be the case historically. Of course, Calvin never wrote on Revelation, which is always a curiosity. But also, when people read Revelation, they read it for the wrong reasons and looking for the wrong things often. And so part of what my concern is that they read Revelation with the eyes to see what I think they ought to see when they read it, which is maybe one of the very best Christocentric books in the entire Bible. It's all about Christ, his glory, his divinity. It's about worship. It's just fantastic. So, I think people need to learn to go past chapter 3, which is, saying a lot. Sometimes the first three chapters are the easy parts, and after that, everyone gives up.
Mm. Yep. Love it.
But it also says some things about blood moons too, right?
Well, it certainly says.
I was going to say, I went to it.
Not in our normal, meteorological sense, but yes. The stars fall from the sky, the moon turns red, the sky rolls up like a scroll, and that happens a lot in the book.
Yeah.
I went to a seminary where that book was not neglected. We spent some time on
it. But I bet it was looked at through one lens only, which is, this is a puzzle to solve.
I'm familiar with that one. I got charts. Hang on, let me get them.
Exactly.
get those charts out real quick.
This is the problem with Reformed Christians. We don't have very good charts.
Oh, that's the truth.
Can't win the debate without a good chart.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, when I ask my non-Christian friends what the problem with reform folks is, they always say the charts.
The charts are the first thing.
They need more charts.
More charts.
So boring.
Well, Dr. Kruger, we're 10 seasons in. What would you tell us keep doing? What would you say, hey, I'm familiar with what you guys are doing on Knowing Faith. Keep doing this.
Yeah, you guys have a great way of getting into some deep theological issues in ways that are winsome, encouraging, and persuasive. And that's, of course, the whole point, right, of these sorts of discussions. So rather than using a podcast as, you know, someone's personal opportunity to vent on everything they don't like in the world, or maybe, you know, using it to sort of go after certain groups or people, you guys do a great job of substantively discussing things, but not in a way that I feel like is, you know, feeling like the spirit of the age that we're all so happy to sort of see diminish. And so, you know, kudos to you guys. You know, 10 seasons of that kind of stuff is great. I hope you get 10 more out of it because it's good stuff.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And thank you for your encouragement. 10 more seasons might put us all into the ground, I think. I would imagine. It's been 10 seasons. It feels
that
like
it. Super dark, Kyle.
Maybe this is the last season. Yeah, maybe this is like you guys' going out party. You just haven't sort of seen it for what it is yet. You know, you think it's a celebration of an anniversary. It's just really the celebration of the end. So,
As the oldest member of this trio, I object to your use of going into the ground.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of us are closer to the ground than others. So.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. Right. That's true. Well, Dr. Kruger, thanks for jumping on. We're one of our favorite guests that we've ever had on. You're always a great time. Your work is engaging and helpful and such a benefit to the church. And we love RTS. So keep doing what you're
doing. Great. I appreciate it. Good to be on with you guys. And I'll look for that invitation 10 seasons from now when we do this again. So
okay. We'll make sure you get
all right.
It. Yeah.
A couple of us will be here.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye, Dr. Kruger. Oh man!
Who knows who that's going to be?
Well, JT will be raptured by then. So
there's no. I had some revelation jokes ready there. I need you to know I held back, and that's progressive sanctification.
I have not read Dr. Kruger's new book, and it sounds like the RTS bro comment was not the right one to start in on.
You know what it's about, right?
I have no idea what it's about. I feel terrible to
fantastic.
Admit that.
But, it's called Bully Pulpit, and it's about spiritual abuse in the church.
Golly. Oh, man.
So, yeah, make a bro joke. It's hysterical.
Yeah, you know, whenever you record hundreds of hours of you talking, you're going to just walk into bear traps. Yeah. But I have a way of, like, hunting them down like a truffle pig. Like, I can literally, like... If there was a football field and there was just one landmine on that entire football field, I would walk across that landmine. I can't believe I let off with RTS bros. Well, there we go.
But the book is seriously really good if anybody's interested.
I need to check it out. I need to check it out. Now, when you think about so he mentions Revelation. You're writing a study on Revelation.
Yeah.
What was the most interesting little end times thing from your evangelical imagination? Like, what's the most, I can remember mine. That's why I'm teeing it up because I have an answer. But
do you mean cultural artifact?
Like we had rice buckets in our garage for like 5 years after the millennium because my dad was like, hey, if it goes south, we need some rice. And these giant buckets of rice, and they just stayed in our garage after Y2K or after Y2K didn't materialize. And I remember I don't know, 14 or 15 year old being like, there's the rice buckets in the garage from that time. We thought that, you know, the whole world might collapse at the turn of the millennium because, you know, God's going to come back and the tribulation. We had rice.
Gonna get through, man. I don't know what our family was thinking. I guess we were thinking we were gonna steal your rice.
Yeah. No, you weren't gonna steal our rice.
We didn't have any preparation at all. My parents were like, this is nothing, don't worry about it. We were out in the parking lot just like shooting hoops, playing, waiting. Man, the time came and went and it was over.
The pagans nailed that one.
Yeah,
we were right about that one.
Oh man. Yeah.
Just leave it. Just leave it to the most clear command in the Bible is don't be afraid. Just leave it to Christians to freak out about a clock ticking over 1 second. Don't be afraid. We need rice.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that is actually, you just keyed in on something I'm planning to talk about in the Revelation study. It's like we've completely forgotten Jesus' words to not worry about tomorrow and to fear not. And we've turned Revelation into a book that causes anxiety, and it's meant to give assurance. Mm-hmm. So I cannot wait. Cannot wait to get into that book.
Man, that, you know what? I'm excited that you're excited about it because I'm not. And maybe you can convince me. Maybe you can get
maybe
in there.
Maybe. We'll see. Well, I wasn't until I was. I don't know how else to say it. I think after spending all that time in Genesis and Exodus,
yeah,
it was like, gosh, why would I not? And then I did First, Second, and Third John, you know, so it's like, and there's so much overlap even between John's epistles and Revelation. So
what's been the most helpful resource for you, Jen? Just in terms of reading and preparing?
Without a doubt. And this is so far. I haven't done all the reading that I should yet, but Greg Beale's short commentary. I'm not serious enough to take on the larger commentary, but the short one is very accessible. And even just the introduction alone, I read it and I just want to start crying. I was like, I've been waiting for this for so long, because he makes the conversation. He talks about how begin with a metaphorical reading and move to a literal one if there is one to be moved to. And we tend to do that in reverse when we read the book of Revelation. And so, you know, as someone who's looking about literacy tools as they apply to the scripture, it's just a really nice fit for what I have done in other studies to be able to tackle the book from that perspective.
That's great. I've not read this, so I can't recommend it from a place of having read it, but I can recommend it from it being recommended to me about 15 times by people that I know, love, and trust. And it's short also. It's called The Theology of the Book of Revelation by Richard Bauckham. I've just heard amazing things about it.
I have that one.
Okay. It's only like 150, it's less than 200 pages. I think it's still exegetical, but more kind of like theological topics and themes. So I'm wondering, I kind of want to preach through Revelation at Storyline in the next couple of years. So I'm going to wait for your study to come out.
Well, question for you. Have you seen, I think it's Brandon Smith wrote a book on the Trinity in Revelation. I wondered if you had seen that yet.
I have. Yeah, he sent it to me, and he actually, I don't know if he ever... I don't think he said this in the book, but he read my dissertation and said it was helpful.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Look at that.
Yep. Kind of triune speech. And so, yeah, he was really complimentary and kind. And his he texted me and said, hey, did you get my book? And I said, yeah. I said, your dissertation is what my dissertation wants to be when it grows up. Like, he did a much better job and was really, really faithful. You know, he wrote a great book.
Oh, nice.
Well, you know, just to segue us, because I'm a master of this, but on the topic of the Trinity, our next guest preached one of the best sermons I've ever heard on the Trinity. So I'm going to let him in right here. Who do we have as our next guest? It is Sam Alberry.
Sam!
Hey, hey!
How's it going?
How's it going,
What's
Sam?
What's up, Sam?
Good to see you all.
Good to see you too. Where are you?
I am in England in my friend's guest room because I have this past week packed up my own house. I now have a visa, so I'm about to move officially to the States.
All right, we'll take you.
That's all I needed. I didn't need a visa. I just needed you to say that.
Welcome to the revolution, a land flowing with George Washington and Jed Bartlett.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that America is great again, I thought I'd come over and join them.
Well, for our listeners who don't know Sam like we know Sam, the guest we have on is Sam Alberry. No introduction needed, but I'm going to say it anyways. He's a pastor, apologist, author, speaker, podcast host. He's the author of a number of books, including Is God Anti-Gay?, What God Has to Say About Our Bodies?, Why Does God Care Who I Sleep With?, and 7 Myths About Singleness. But more than that, Sam is our friend, one of our very favorite guests from Knowing Faith Past, Memories Past. And thanks for jumping on for our 10th anniversary here, Sam. Thank you.
Oh, how could I not? Thank you for having me. It's so good to join you for this. And congratulations. That's amazing. 10 years, huh? No, 10 seasons.
Well, 10 seasons, yeah.
Well, I think the first year we like didn't know what a year or a season was, and then we started just calling each episode a season. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it we, JT?
I think it wasn't we. Yeah, I had no part of that.
No, that's wonderful.
Sam, I think the big question that I have for you is this. Why am I your favorite of the three hosts of Knowing Faith? Like, what about, like, how, why do you feel like I excel where these other two folks just kind of struggle a little bit? That's why we're asking every guest a question.
Yeah, no, totally. I think it's because you're broken, but whole.
Oh man, you know, you just lay it. You sometimes you throw it up hoping somebody will slam dunk it, and Sam just caught the ball and delivered.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
No, yes. Well, no. In all seriousness, Sam. Okay, we're asking every guest a real question. This is the real one. How would you encourage a Christian intimidated by confessing sin to other Christians? So they come to you and they say, "Hey, I know the Bible says that, you know, I'm to confess my sins to God, but I've heard that there's practical benefit and encouragement, that it's good for me to confess my sins to other brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'm scared. I don't want to do it. I'm intimidated by it." How would you encourage them?
Yeah, I'd say it's natural to feel intimidated. We don't lose face when we confess sin to God, because he knows all of our sins better than we do anyway. But if I confess my sins to you, actually, I do risk losing face, because you don't know the half of it. So it feels like there may be more relationally at stake, confessing sins to one another. But we're all ultimately in the same boat. And actually, as it happened, I met up with a dear friend today who wanted to confess to me some things he'd never confessed to anyone before in his life. And he shared with me some of those things. And they weren't sins that I had committed in the way that he had, but I was able to say to him, listen, if I've not done some of those things that you've done, that's only because of lack of provocation and lack of opportunity. It's not because I'm better than you. We're made of the same stuff here. The more we get that, the more we should realize actually all of us have things that we are embarrassed about other people knowing. All of us have sins to confess that we're deeply ashamed of. It can feel like I'm the only one. Everyone else is basically okay, and I'm the real sinner in the room. But the fact is, everyone is feeling that way. Mm-hmm. So we're all in the same boat. And then the other thing I think I'd say is, you know, James 5, is it 16, says to confess our sins and pray, confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. And I went round in circles. I wrote a devotional commentary on the book of James. I went round in circles on what does healing mean? Who's done a PhD on this? Who can tell us the answer? Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me only recently, let's just confess our sins and find out. Because that's, you know, whatever it is James is promising, we'll find when we confess our sins to each other.
Yeah.
But I think at least part of the healing is that actually the gospel becomes more real as we allow other people to know the worst things about us, and yet we are received with grace, and the gospel is reiterated. It sweetens and deepens friendships. And I think it does something to our relationship with the sin that we're confessing, that the fact that we put it out there in the open, that we name it, that we confess it as a sin, all of those things, I think, do bring a measure of healing to our hearts.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Sam, if you were going to tell us keep doing something, stop doing something, or start doing something for the next 10 seasons of Knowing Faith, what would you tell us to, you don't have to do one for each category, but one of those categories, stop doing, start doing, or keep doing, what would you tell us? What would be your exhortation for the next 10 for us?
There's probably lots of jokey banter-related answers to that, but I think the serious thing is keep making theology fun to talk about, because it should be. It's deep, it's challenging, it's stretching, at times it's sobering, but it is there's a godly sense of fun here. We're parachuted into this universe of reality about God, and we get to explore in it. We get to see what the Bible says. And one of the things I've really appreciated about this podcast is it is both the sharpening you've done for me, thinking through different theological issues, but you've made me chuckle along the way, and it's lovely to have those two things combined, theological seriousness with a kind of levity, because I think those two things go together well. So keep giving JT a very hard time, I think is what I'm saying.
Great.
It never ends. It gets to the point of bullying, and I'm just like, guys, can we get back to Christophanies, please?
Well, keep joining us for friendly dialogue. Yeah, we've really enjoyed having you for a dialogue partner, and you bring plenty of humor along for the ride as well, which we love.
That's right.
I'll come anytime.
That's right, Sam. Seriously. I'm gonna declare the second golden ticket. I've only declared one other golden ticket in the history of Knowing Faith for guests. That first golden ticket went to Ligon Duncan. It's not accompanied by anything material at all. It's just a declaration that I make ex cathedra, so to speak, for the podcast. And I'm awarding you the second golden ticket. You can redeem it at any time, Sam. You let us know. Knock on the podcast door and it will swing wide open unto thee. All right.
Great.
All right, Sam. Bless you, brother. Thank you, man.
So good to see you. God bless you guys. Love you so much.
See you, Sam. Love you too, brother. Bye. Oh, man. We have had some fun. We have one more to round us out here, and that knock will come at, you know, any moment. I wish Engineer Brad could actually automate. Maybe he can. Engineer Brad, if you can automate a knocking sound or a creaking of a door.
No, no.
Just so you cheesy. Know. Oh, is it? I mean, we don't have any cheese like that. You know, how many times I have held myself back from putting
Kyle,
a laugh track
need
on.
I think we just need to pause here for a second and say, Jackie Hill Perry likes our banter. We never have to have this.
Okay.
We
okay.
never have
okay.
to have this argument again, ever. Yep. This argument has been settled.
Once and for all.
You know, what's funny is like Jackie and I, we speak at stuff together and we don't banter in the green room. We're not back there bantering.
So maybe she
I'm like,
wants
if
you to.
You like the banter. You don't want to banter with me. You just want to listen to me banter with Kyle and JT.
Well, maybe she knows that you're so anti-banter.
That's probably it. Yeah. She probably thinks I'm a little frosty about it.
Well, but when you guys are both speaking and you're back there in the green room or whatever, it's like two alphas in the same place.
Getting your ankles taped up.
Yeah.
You guys are listening. You got your hype music is going
hype
on
music,
in your headphones.
Towel over.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
Drinking some Gatorade.
No, I would be curious. I would be curious. Is it the vibe has to be different in the women's green room than the like just general speaking mixed gender green room, right? Like that's got to be different.
Well, I have been in far fewer, like I've been in a lot of green rooms where I'm the only woman there and that just is so awkward for me. Mm. Not always. I mean, obviously sometimes it's fine. But the women's green rooms, when the women platform is backstage for something, it's actually delightful. I mean, there's just you just don't feel like people are sizing each other up or anything like that. I call those women, they're like my summer camp friends, you know, because we see each other at these sort of mountaintop things. But I really look forward to seeing them. And, you know, also those rooms for us, there's a lot of, there can be some loneliness associated with that work. And you get to talk to people who are in similar spaces that you're in and dealing with similar difficulties and similar wins. And so it's just, it's fun. I like seeing them. Actually, Melissa Kruger is another one. Mike's wife is just one of my favorite people. And Courtney Doctor, we've had some of these people on the show. By sheer coincidence, we've had some of these people on the show. But yeah, they're great.
You know, I often imagine that if I ran a conference, that I would want the MC of that conference to be the oldest, nicest, godliest woman, like an old, like just old woman from First Baptist Church Groves, who is totally unimpressed with anybody but Jesus. And they'd be like, this next person's going to preach to us. We're going to listen to it. It's God's word. They gave me some stuff to say, but I can't read it on the prompter. Open up your Bible to John 3 and then gets off the stage because they just would not be enamored at all with anybody who's coming out. Like, not impressed.
Give me 10 years and I'll fill the bill for you.
Perfect. Great. I'll take you up on that. We'll plan a conference and you'll just MC the whole event. Be like, I don't know who this next person is. I think they're going to preach. They told me to tell you about Romans 5.
Yeah.
Can we get Tony Evans back in here?
No doubt about that. I will get off the stage at any moment if that man walks in the room.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wait. And look, we have another guest. We are joined by a friend of the show and friend of ours, more importantly, Dr. Jonathan Pennington. Hey, Dr. Pennington, how are you?
Howdy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for speaking.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you for speaking Texan to me right off the bat. I appreciate that.
Howdy. Yeah.
Coming in with the howdy. I love it. I love it. Well, Dr. Pennington, if you are not familiar with him, is currently professor of New Testament interpretation at Southern Seminary in Louisville. He's also the spiritual formation pastor at Sojourn East, regularly speaks and teaches in churches all over the country. He's the author of many books, including the brand new Come and See, which I have right here, The Journey of Knowing God Through Scripture. And, look at JT's got his, but no way.
Got my copy. Yeah,
wait a minute.
Yeah,
one of these things is not like the other. Okay,
Jen needs to hold up a green screen.
She pulls up Women of the Word.
Right. Yeah. Well, hey, Dr. Pennington, before you say some nice things on the 10th season anniversary of Knowing Faith, let me ask you this question. As I've been looking at your book and taking a look at the first few chapters, let me just tee it up for the audience. Why is it important that we read the Bible not just for information, but for transformation?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, that is really the part of my ministry and this book in particular as well, is that, you know, information is important. So it's really important that we grow in information. But the whole goal of reading scripture is that we encounter God and become more fully human, become more formed into his image. I've often been thinking recently about 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that we go to those famous verses to talk about the inerrancy and inspiration of scripture, which is great. But their point is actually that the point of Holy Scripture is not just to be proven that it's inspired, but that we be trained in righteousness, that we become more like God. And so that's what I would say, mm-hmm. is that this is the goal of reading scriptures. The scripture is this primary means by which we see God and then therefore become more like him.
I love that. It is a good answer. And
it's a good answer, guys.
Not just a theoretical answer, but it's something that you can actually see in real life application. I think of the Sermon on the Mount, Human Flourishing, which was such a helpful book for me, but that is actually you putting that right into practice. And I love that book for that reason. So Dr. Pennington, this is 10 seasons in for Knowing Faith. What would you tell us to stop doing, start doing, keep doing, change course on? Any encouragements or exhortations for Knowing Faith as we head out into the next 10 seasons?
I mean, I don't have any advice for you other than just sincere appreciation. I mean, I think of so many people in my church, including some very dear friends, that have learned so much theology from you guys, and the friendly, loving, thoughtful dialogue that you guys have provided. I'm sure you're aware of many of the ways that God has used this show, but I also think it's one of those kind of It's a Wonderful Life things that we can't even know what good wouldn't have happened if you wouldn't have been doing this all these seasons, you know, in the sense of like, you know, you just so many people's lives have been benefited by you guys modeling a loving, thoughtful, kind of deep dialogue. So I never listened to the show, but I'm sure that it is really good. And that, but so many people do tell me that it's really good. I've listened, you know, I've been on it a couple times, so those were good. But everybody that I know sincerely has been so helped. And so thank you. I mean, really sincerely, thank you for the labor you've put into it. I'm so thankful to call you friends. I'm so glad we're on the same team.
I love it.
So congratulations.
It's exciting. Well, as far as book endorsements go, I've never been asked to endorse one, but I will endorse the teaching and the writing ministry of Jonathan Pennington. There you go. Heard it. Love you it. Heard it here first. Wasn't asked to. He may not want it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Hey, if you want to find Knowing Faith, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you want to find Come and See, you can just go to wherever you get your books at. Leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts. We'd be happy to consider a question that you drop in there for a future episode. You can check out trainingthechurch.com if you want to find out more about the show. Thank you for joining us on this episode with all of these wonderful guests. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. Grace and peace.